We have a racist president that supports the KKK. Write to your local congressman. Call them on the phone. Show up at their office. We need to do this. We can. Together as a country. All right. You're going to do that from your mansion? You're going to do that too? No, because they care about, you know, poor people. They're driving by in their limo in their fucking $100,000 dress and their fucking makeup and this and that, and they drive right by homeless people in L.A. They walk right over them, right past them. Oh, that's terrible. Yeah, I know. And then they go to the big party.
It is Wednesday, March 1st. Beautiful, sunny day, finally, after months of shit weather. In between last episode and this episode, I got a really bad cold. Really fucking bad sore throat, came out of nowhere. I couldn't believe I was sick again. I'm like, I just was sick. But I went to the doctor and they hooked me up with some amoxicillin and it beat the shit out of that fucking cold. Is fucking gone, right? Nice job, white blood cells. Yeah, thank God. It was getting nasty again. I'm like, fuck, because everyone's sick. Like I said, everybody's sick. The whole city gets sick. Also, in between last episode and this one was the Oscars. You watch the Oscars, did you? I would rather watch the Super Bowl than the Oscars. If you know me, that's really saying something. I don't understand the appeal. I know that the ratings have dropped every year for the last fucking 10 years or something. No matter what kind of rabbits. I mean, it's 4 hours long and it's just so fucking unnecessary. I mean, I'd love to know what the appeal is for, unless you're in Hollywood or an extreme left-wing liberal. I don't know what the appeal is to sit and watch it. I really don't understand what you get out of it. It makes me want to fucking throw up. I think they should have Academy Awards. I think the awards should just get mailed out and posted online or something. Just the amount of pomp and circumstance involved with something so fucking trivial is just staggering to me and extremely boring. I can't believe Moonlight won. Gee, I didn't see that coming. Wow. Wow. Moonlight. About a gay black guy. Jeez. After last year's shenanigans, I really didn't think that was going to win. What a surprise. I just hope everybody checked with Jada Pinkett Smith and made sure this was okay with her, because she was the leading voice of Oscar So White last year. Even though there was nothing, there was nary a black movie to even be considered for nomination, it was because racism. The cause of and solution to all black culture's problems is racism. So I hope Jada Pinkett Smith's okay. Someone should have checked in with her and see if this met all her standards. But yeah, great Moonlight. I didn't see it. I don't care. I didn't give a shit when it was Brokeback. I don't care about movies with gay characters in particular. Just not, doesn't really pique my interest. I just, you know, I don't care. I can't relate. A lot of movies like that. I didn't go see Silence. I don't give a shit about two fucking priests in Japan. Scorsese is one of my favorite directors, but don't care. So didn't see Moonlight, and something tells me probably not. Whatever, you know, I can go on about it, but there is zero legitimacy. They're never really, you know, the more you look back into history, like I always bring up Dances with Wolves and Goodfellas, they picked the more politically correct movie because it dealt with Florentine. It dealt with Native American. Florentine did a fucking net opening for my thing. He did a fucking podcast about award shows. That is so fucking funny. I was laughing so hard. It was the funniest episode of his fucking podcast I heard in like months. Why isn't my... I'm trying to get directions here. Why is it not... Oh, fucking shit. I hate when it does this. Oh, God damn it. Hang on a second. I'm pausing for 1 second. Hang on. Okay, sorry. This is going to be kind of wonky because I'm trying to get over to Glendale. And I don't really know how to get there from where I am right now. So there's going to be some direction doing, which I'm always... Me and you are always a big fan of. It's great to hear. Okay, so I'm sure you heard about the big snafu at the Oscars. Now, I didn't. Luke, I thought you said you didn't watch it. What are you fucking lying to us? No, but it's every. I don't give a shit about the Super Bowl. I didn't even know who the fuck was in it, but I sure heard who won the next day. And you can't help it. You're culturally bombarded with it. So I heard some audio on across a couple of podcasts and stuff, and
proceed to the route.
So they fucked up the best picture. I guess they said it was the worst fuck up in Oscar history, which you really think about it in the grand scheme of things. Well, I guess it does matter, because if you were the gang of people that thought you won and then found out 3/4 of the way through your acceptance speech that you didn't, that would really suck, right? But how did, like he says, what's he said in History of Violence? How do you fuck that up? Jesus, Richie.
Turn right onto Guthrie.
I don't know how you fuck that up that bad. They obviously handed Warren Beatty, Master Beatty, the wrong envelope. It said Best Actress Emma Stone for La La Land. How did they get Best Pick? They were going up there to present Best Picture.
Turn right onto Sawyer Street.
How could they? I don't understand. He looks at the card and he's confused. Then he shows it to stupid Faye Dunaway to be like, "Does this look right to you?" And she just goes, "La La Land." And fucking retard. I mean, it's nice to see Bonnie and Clyde up there together, even though they're fucking in their diapers.
Turn right onto Sawyer Street.
I don't understand how they didn't just. I don't know. Like, Warren, he just seems like a humorless ass, Warren Beatty. Like, why didn't he just say, like, I don't think they gave me the right card, and, like, you know, made a moment out of it. I mean, improv a little bit, sir. You're a fucking actor. I'm like, what are you, fucking De Niro? Like, you know, say something about it. Obviously something went wrong there. They just go, la, 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 and then they let this whole thing go on. And then, like, the next day, just, you know, you think... Like, I know you're a Hollywood icon, and you know, I'm a fucking big fan of, like, Warren Beatty, because I'm, you know, the guy's a legend. But, like, the next day, he's just such a cantankerous, well, I don't know what happened, but he's just being a fucking douche. I'm like, you know, you're 80 years old, and your movie bombed, and now your name's in the news. Why don't you make a moment out of it? Do you have a fucking publicist or a fucking somebody to handle these things for you? Because you're not doing well, you know? He's just a douche, and just, like... Warren Beatty's one of these guys. He's almost like a De Palma. Like, I really think he's not even overrated, but he's had a long career with, like, flashes of, like, great brilliance and amazing work, but, you know, bookended by just lots of shit and terrible movies and choices and basically just being a douchebag, you know? What are these guys? I know he's revered. I don't know, you know. When I was working at Pins, when I was doing Tuesday nights, sometimes the first couple hours would be really fucking slow. And someone left in the Lost and Found. It was there for a long time.
Turn right onto Venice Boulevard.
They just happened to leave the biography of Warren Beatty by Peter Biskin, who's one of my favorite authors. He wrote Easy Riders, Raging Bulls, one of my favorite, maybe my favorite book of all time, honest to God. It was like nothing made me want to make movies more than that fucking book.
Turn left to onto I-10 East.
So I really wanted to fucking check it out. I was like, sweet. And I started reading it, and I was, you know, I'd fucking be standing there for hours, and I got like several chapters in, and he was such a douchebag, I couldn't read it anymore. I'm like, I fucking can't stand this guy. Like, what an unlikable piece of shit. Warren Beatty really was a fucking cunt. What a dick. So, I don't know. Kind of a stuck-up douche. Not a very nice guy. Put my fucking air conditioning on. And, yeah, he's just... I feel like he's almost got an opportunity here, and he's just fucking it up. Like, you know, whatever. The red carpet for the Oscars... This encapsulates everything so perfectly for me. The red carpet for the Oscars cost $30,000. And there was a whole article I said. It sounded like Mental Floss or something. $30,000, and it's this all the fucking hubbub about the carpet, and I'm like, these people get paid millions of dollars to go to a job that they love, and then they get rewarded for it like this, and on top of it, they walk down a $30,000 carpet to get their stupid award. It's just fucking fuck you, you know? Ugh. I remember there was a time like when I first really got into movies and like fucking went to film school and shit, and like there was a couple of years where I really liked the Oscars, and I was, like, excited about them, not realizing that, like, you know, most of the awards were given along political, you know, lines, not artistic merit. There were larger things at play that guided people's fucking votes, and it's just a complete joke. But I remember the first time I ever realized, like, that I fucking kind of hate actors and that this all is fucking full
turn
of shit.
Left to merge onto iTunes.
Was the first time I can remember was like 2000, like fucking 2 or 3 or something. And DiCaprio walks up to the walks up to the microphone and he just goes, he's like, I am proud to see, because he's Mr. Environment, he's Captain Planet. He's like, I'm proud to announce for the first time in the Oscars 72-year history, or whatever it was, he goes, that the Oscars are going green. And he just steps back and waits for this giant applause break. And I was like, what the fuck does that, what does that even mean? What are they clapping for? No one knows what he's talking about. So then he goes on to elaborate. He's like, this year, for the first time ever, the it was so fucking, it was such a pathetic, like, hey, don't forget I'm environment guy. It was this, like, ridiculous attempt at him to prove.
Hang on. To merge onto I-10 east toward I-5 north.
10 east, okay. Wait, am I getting on the 5 north? Or whatever. We'll find out when we get there. Sorry about that. I fucking can't stand when I have to do this, but I have to do this. Ma! No, I won't turn it down. I gotta do this now. It was something like they aligned the fucking satellite dishes to a degree that it's used less air static and wouldn't disturb a fucking a flock of ducks path. It was reaching so bad. And I was just like, ew, what the fuck? How fucking out of touch are these fucking assholes? And then there was, I don't know if it was the same show or if it was a year after, but this woman comes up and it was for like the best, you know how they have those little kind of skits in between? It'll be some little montage like, this one was like great best villains. Because someone was up for like some big villain award or, I don't know, what one of the actors that were nominated, it was for a role that was for like a real salacious character that year. So they were going to have this like great villains do like Hollywood history. And so this lady, I forgot who it was. It was some fucking older actress like in her fucking 60s, 70s that was like, somebody that was like, that mattered in the 70s and no one gives a shit anymore. I couldn't fucking tell you who it was. And she comes up and she just walks up to the microphone. This is their like cold open for this little sketch. She's like, greed, money, power, sex, lust, corruption. And she just, this went on for like 2 fucking minutes. She just read like descriptive words that make people evil, and she would just try to accent every, it was basically like she was going up there like, hey, look, I can still act. Cause so not only was the sketch a fucking terrible idea, but this lady like oversold it so hard to be like, guys, I'm still an actress. And I was like, oh God. Oh, self-important fucking douchery, whatever. But, nothing changed. I hate the fucking Oscars. I hate it. I hate the whole fucking thing. But, what a bunch of horse shit. Moonlight, what the fuck cares? What, Manchester by the Sea? Windbed? I do this every year because, like I say, I can't help it. I still end up hearing about it. And just like, Manchester by the Sea won for best original script. There's no fucking script. Nothing happens in that movie. If you looked at it, exterior Manchester street, day, Casey Affleck sulks, walks around sulking. That must be in the script 800,000 times because that's all he did. It was a fucking, Manchester, get the fuck out of my face. Best original screenplay. Not a goddamn thing happened in that fucking piece of shit movie. Yuck. I forgot to mention last week. Okay, so I'm working on, doing this Kevin, I'm working on Kevin Pollak's show now, basically. I went to, where was I going? It was 2 weeks ago, Friday, and I see that Tom Dreesen is, it was in the afternoon, and I was going to do stand-up that night somewhere, I forget. But I see that Tom Dreesen is doing Flappers. Now, Dreesen is he's an old-timer, and he's pretty much like one of the fucking 3 central characters in that book, I'm Dying Up Here, which I really liked. It's all about the Comedy Store in the 70s and the comic strike. And then it caps off with Steve Lubeckin doing a fucking swan dive off a 32-story hotel next door and splattering in the Comedy Store driveway. Dreesen's one of the main guys in it. And he opened for Sinatra for like 10 years. And he's just got a ton of interest. He's just like old school showbiz, which I love. You know, I'm fascinated by that stuff. So anytime he's on someone's podcast, and he's like really well spoken and he's smart and I love the guy. I love hearing his stories and shit like that. So I'm like, fuck, I would love to go see him at Flappers, but it was too late in the day. I saw it. I just happened to see it. I think I follow him on Twitter. I know the guy's like 70 or something, but he tweeted it, and I didn't see it until the afternoon. So I'm like, I don't think I'm going to make it. But I just kind of, as a goof, I tweeted to him, and I said, I don't know if I'll make the show, man, but you want to do my, would you ever be on my stupid podcast? So later on in the day, I get a DM from his, I don't know, somebody named Amy, I guess that's involved with him. She's like, yeah, Tom would love to get in touch with him let's work out a time, and he'll come do it. I'm like, holy shit, fucking cool, you know? Even I don't hate interviewing people. It's not exactly a strong suit. Yeah, I know, I'm not. But it's just like, that's an opportunity. Like, what if the guy fucking, God fucking forbid, what if a safe falls on his head or something in a week, you know? I love to talk to the guy. So, which was kind of like frantic, because I didn't, Harrison Ford frantic. I needed time to get the, I haven't read the book in a while. I read it fucking, I think, last year. But I was like, shit, I gotta get all my fucking questions together. Richard Lewis. In fact, Richard Lewis is in that book. He's involved. He knew Richard Lewis. He was friends with him. He did stand up to get him. So I email him, and it was Friday night. So I didn't make the show, but I was gonna try and grab. I don't even know if he lives in LA. I was gonna try and get him over the weekend. So I sent him this whole pitch, and halfway through I realized, holy shit. Well, I said I was gonna say I can do it anytime this weekend except for Sunday morning, because I gotta do this Kevin Pollak show. And then I was like, wait a goddamn minute. Maybe fuck my podcast. Maybe he can get on Pollak's show. I don't know if they have a second guest lined up that week, which they turns out they did. But I was like, if they don't have a second guest, do you want me not? Now I know it's dangerous to do this. It's dangerous to confuse children with angels. Remember Magnolia? You know, I gotta watch my step here. I just started on the fucking thing. I don't want to piss anybody off. Like, hey, what are you trying to suggest guests to me? Like, go fuck yourself, guy. But I was gonna see if I can kind of nudge him and be like, hey, Tom Dreesen's in town. I would love to fucking hear, again, like, I don't fuck my own podcast. I'd love to hear Dreesen on Kevin Pollak's show. It'd be great. So I emailed him back, and I'm like, what if I try to get him on Pollak's show? I might be able to pull that off. I'd love that. Nothing. Never heard back. Nothing about my podcast, nothing about Kevin Pollak's podcast, never heard a word. I guess that's not important to him. I guess that wouldn't be a huge exposure for him, you know. So, fuck me, I guess. So that didn't happen. Then, on top of this, I hear that Jimmy Norton, one of my favorite comics, announces on Jim and Sam's show that I listen to every day. You can get it on YouTube. Jim Norton, Sam Robert, I fucking love it. I love those guys. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be in LA for a week doing press. Oh, I think for a special, doing the podcast rounds again. And for a few of the days, Sam's going to be there. Sam just had a kid, so he's going to try and make it out to, hang on. Let me check my directions here. Hang on. Where am I going? 2.6 miles, 10 East. Okay. So I emailed Jimmy, and I'm like, hey man, I work on fucking Kevin's show now. I know. I'm treading lightly here. I can't help it. I'm in a position, you know, if I can make things happen. It's all selfish. These are all my favorite guy. I would just love to see him. I'd love to see him on a show and be there in person. It'd be fucking cool. Get a private audience, 4 people. I'm like, why don't you do Pollak's chat show? So Jimmy writes it back and goes, well, we reached out and Kevin never wrote back. And I was like, okay, let's see what I can do here. Roll up my fucking sleeves. Hey, showbiz Luke, jumping in like I'm making fucking wheeling and dealing, trying to make some shit happen. So I email my guy that works Kevin, and I said, hey, Jimmy said he reached out and they never heard back. And he goes, yeah, we did. We wrote back. Now, Jimmy used to have just John. As far as I know, he only had Jonathan Branstein as manager for a long time. Jonathan fucking rules. There's so many, like, he's a Barry Katz type. He's like a luminary, famous comic rep. There's tons of stories about this dude. I met him a couple times. He's awesome. He's funny. But, I mean, not like stand-up funny. He's a quirky guy, and he's funny. Like Barry Katz, you know? He's a character. So, now Jimmy's with William Morris, too. So the guy's like, well, we wrote back his agent, and they never responded to us. We did write back. And I was like, interesting. So I wrote back Jimmy. And now I'm like, oh, boy. Okay. I'm getting a little deeper into the mud than I wanted to, because now it's gonna, you know, it could turn into a thing. Well, who said that and who told you that? And then they go back to Kevin, and Kevin comes back and goes, what the fuck? Why are you talking to, you know what I mean? I'm kind of putting myself in a position, but I'm like, fuck it. I will tread lightly into this. And I said, well, I talked to a guy and he said that they wrote you guys back. And Jimmy just wrote back, interesting. I was like, uh-oh. Look, what the fuck are you doing? This is like a dream gig for you. You're already getting ready to fuck it up because you can't keep your goddamn mouth shut. Yeah, I know. That's all I heard. So I don't... Now, here's the thing. Now, again, now Kevin... That's the last I heard from Jimmy. Now, Kevin's guy writes me back, Pollock's guy, and he's like, I think we might have been double booked that we can... that he was asking about anyway. So I'm like, oh, so there might have been another email that I missed that they wrote back to Jimmy and were like, hey, Jimmy, we'd love to, but we're double booked. Also, there's a thing that Kevin doesn't like Sam. He has gone on O&A and told Sam to his face that he doesn't like him and thinks he's a little shit. He openly does not like him, which I gotta give him credit. He fucking called him out right through his face. Sam's not the most, I like him, but he's not the most
take a slight left
crowd-pleasing of guys. You know what I mean? He's kind of a, his voice, and he's kind of a dude. I like him because he's a little shit-stirrer. Asshole. He reminds me of my buddy Rusty that I grew up with, but and he even has the same laugh. That, I don't know. That always, I always thought he was.
Continue,
I always liked him. But
mile,
that might be a thing too. Miles. That might have been a day that Sam was scheduled to be out here, and Kevin was like, "No, I don't want Sam on my fucking show." But either way, so bottom line, long rambling, stammering story. I tried to get Jimmy on Kevin Pollak's show, and I don't think it's gonna happen. But that's the kind of you know, cool shit that could happen down the road. They just seem to like, hey man, you good for Sunday? Billy Bob Thornton's gonna be there. Just Billy Bob too. A nice long 2 hour. I'm like, dude, I go, I would fucking walk there. Yes, I'll fucking be there. I can't wait. It's gonna be fucking awesome. So yeah, Billy Bob Thornton. And now that I'm already thinking, I'm like, what am I gonna do every week? Have a I worked on Kevin Pollak's fucking show wrap up. Like, who's gonna want to hear that? I don't know. I'll have to figure out how I'm gonna work that. But I don't know. I tell you about all kinds of other boring shit that no one would give a fuck about, and probably doesn't. I'm probably in an echo chamber just talking to basically no one except for five people. I have no idea how many people listen to this. But, oh, look, I'm heading to this place. Wait a minute. Wait, this is sending me to the fucking ice house. Is this the right? This doesn't seem right. The place that I'm thinking it is. Okay, I'm going to follow this. I don't know if this is going to the right place. This is very sketchy where I'm dropping off this thing. I feel like it's not the right place, but I didn't pick it up, so... And I just called the people to be like, are you the guys? And they're like, yeah, but the guy didn't sound terribly sure. I don't know. Let's see how this works out. Either way, we're stuck in the fucking car together, ain't we? Sort of. Last week, I mentioned, where am I at time-wise? How am I doing here? Okay, 18 minutes. I mentioned I was going to do that show. I got booked on this crazy show that was going to be like, the flyer said like hip hop and DJs and like, I swear it said go-go dancers, everything on this fucking flyer. And it was posted in the comedy group, the Facebook group for like comedians. And something about it just seemed sketchy, you know? I'm just like, but no one was really signing it because it was up. Usually those things get filled in 2 seconds. Like every goddamn comic jumps on there to get booked on whatever, on anything that pops up. But no one, this one was up for like a day, and no one had signed up. And I'm like, all right, well, this seems weird. But like I always say, I'm like, well, what's the worst that can happen? I'll have a fucking funny story about it for this stupid show. So I'm like, I sign up, and now I look up on like Friday, I'm trying to find out how long the set is, and on Friday I look up, I never heard of the place, it's downtown LA, and the pictures of it look really like, you know, looking back now, I wonder if there's another five-star bar, because there's no way this was the place unless they literally just put up fake pictures. It looked like it was up on like a fucking floor of a hotel or something. Like, it looked really swanky, and that there was these like views of like downtown and shit. And I'm like, this looks like a fucking kind of an upscale club. I'm like, what the fuck am I getting myself into here? But I was like, you know, whatever. Let's be ready for anything. I get there, and it's just some fucking bar. It's a fucking bar. A regular old bar. With really high ceilings, which is not conducive to comedy. People talk about that all the time. They talk about, I know Fitzsimmons, they'll talk about all their favorite clubs across the country. And they're like, oh yeah, great place, man. The walls are black walls, low ceilings. It's like 250-seater. It's exact. I never understand what low ceilings has to do with anything. I guess maybe because it... just something, it boxes in the comic even more and directs everyone's focus to the stage, maybe. But I guess you don't want high ceilings. And it's like the inside, like they're trying to make it like a, not artsy, but like a, they're trying to give it a little personality. I mean, I can't get the personality. Like it's this kind of esoteric place that invites all kinds of different artists, man. Bitty bop bop boo. Yeah, come here and do my sket. Fucking smoke poetry. This kind of shit. Seemed like it had that, because it had these like paintings way up, these big ass canvas paintings going all the way around, but like neon colors, but real like expressionistic. You know what I mean? It's trying to blend a little bit, almost mix like an art gallery in a bar. But it was still a dive bar. It smelled like piss. I mean, it was a junky dive bar. I'll put up a picture on my Flickr page, FLICKR, live from the 405 podcast on Flickr. So right away I was disarmed. I'm like, oh, okay, it's the fucking bar. So I get there, and it's most of the other comics are, it's comics, musicians, it's like this mixed mic thing. But it's just, it's the, basically a bar with a mic, and there's a fucking DJ on stage. So all the guys that seem to be involved in it just seem like, there was this, I don't know, he looked like a billy goat. He was this older white guy, and even this guy was just crazy, just like really loud, and just seemed pissed off and like yelling and like, the guys that were setting up the stage and the sound, he's like, bring that fucking thing over here. What are you doing? I don't know. I was like, this guy's a, I hope this isn't the promoter. Promoter turned out to be this other black dude that was like fucking 6'5". He was huge. And it just seemed like they all just were like, I don't know, like they didn't want to be bothered. They put the show on, but they regretted doing it. Didn't want to do it. I don't know. It's a weird vibe in there. I'm just like, oh my God. So this is Sunday night while the Oscars are going on too, by the way. So here's what I did like about the place. It was dark. It was dark in there. There was no spotlight on me. It was like low lit. I liked the vibe. It wasn't overly lit, you know? Hang on, I need a drink.
Oh, take a fucking drink of water. You're boring the fuck out of everybody with these fucking stories. Yeah, fucking pass your frout so they can hear your fucking boring fucking words, man.
So, I like that. And the sound, it was like they had four way too big for the room speakers up in each corner. This place, it was pretty big. It was like, it was tall and it was long. That's the way I could like describe how the layout of the fucking room. It was just like one big room, you know? But, the speakers, then they had this echo on them. It sounded like I was fucking doing a set in Yankee Stadium. It like bounced off all the wall. It was crazy sounding. I'm like, what the f-? It sounded like it was like Voice of God shit. It was really fucking loud. So I think most of the crowd were black, and most of the comics were black. Probably 30 people in the whole place. But I think people were mostly there for the music. I don't really think the patrons in there wanted a comedy show. They kind of set up like some seats, like bar stools with tables, cocktail tables in front of the stage that maybe went 10 deep, and there was like five people sitting in them. So, you know what's funny? All these fucking, everyone I know is like, now because it's been raining here so much, everyone's like, I've never seen it more green though. It's so pretty. I'm like, I don't give a shit. Fuck the green. I don't care. I want a brown. I want a desert. I want the fucking, the warm, dry California I moved here for. But they really aren't shitting. Like when I drive around different parts of town, like I'm over here by fucking Glendale on the fucking five, kind of towards Dodger Stadium. It really is insanely, it's like neon fucking bright green. It looks like fucking like I'm in Brazil or something. It's I've never seen it this green ever in my life. Like the people weren't kidding. I was all pissed off and I'm like, holy shit, they're right, it is fucking green. But so they're getting all set up. The guy's like, all right, y'all, we're gonna have a comedy show here in a minute. Some funny people can come up here and motherfucking tell you some jokes. And then we're going to do a DJ thing, all right? So everybody just fucking chill out for 5 minutes or whatever. So he gets ready to go up, and I'm standing right by the stage. And he's like, all right. And so now it's like, I don't know, maybe 8:30 or 8 o'clock. And the guy's like, all right, we're going to start the show. And they just cut the fucking music. It was just like, and just like cut, you know? Like they were playing like, I don't know, Nicki Minaj. I'm just fucking turn the music. No fade out. No, you know, just abrupt, like just pull the classic record scratch sound effect. And he's like, all right, who want to go first? And I was just like, I'll go first. Fuck it. I don't give a shit. And he's like, all right, this first. So he gives me, I don't know why I was so like pissed off. Because I'm thinking, number one, I'll have the most amount of people. Number two, I'll be able to get out of here quicker and maybe do another mic tonight. You know, it behooves me to get up quicker and get out quicker regardless. like I said, I learned that episode. I learned that lesson several episodes ago, where I would. No one wants to be first. Like, I know Dean Del Rey talks. He's like, dude, I love being first. He's like, you got the most people. You open up the fucking room. I know there's like pressure, but it's like, I'd rather be first. So they bring me up to fucking Mark Morrison, and they wouldn't Return of the Mac, one of my favorite fucking songs. It's like one of my all time just favorite hip hop songs. And the guy just let it play way too long. I mean, it was on for like a minute, so I just started like dancing up there. I was singing. It was so stupid. But I don't know what I just, as soon as I got up there, I was just like, oh, fuck this. Who cares? You know, and I did my stupid Lou, cut to the chase. How did it go? It didn't really go well. No one, it was loud. Everyone was talking in there. Like I said, it wasn't really a comedy show. It was a comedy show that happened to be going on in a bar. So I just, it was like 7 fucking minutes. So I went through, I did all my stupid Tom Hanks, because the Oscars, I tried to like steer it towards Oscar jokes and how movies sucked last year bullshit that no one laughed at. And I just vocally addressed like, yeah, this is going great. I would get laughs for that. I was just making fun of myself. I'm like, yeah, no one gives a shit about these jokes. I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know what else to talk about. There wasn't really enough people it wasn't an easy room. I still, like, I'm always like, you know, I can never, well, just blame the crowd. I should have. I mean, when I think back to the show, I'm like, yeah, I should have done this, I should have done that. But when you're up there in the heat of the moment, I'm getting better at it, though. I'm getting little fucking baby steps. I'm getting better at doing that. And someday I'll be able to just hot riff my way through just about anything, you know? I mean, there's so many people. I can't believe the amount of fucking people that can just do that naturally. Like, it just, like, how long have I been doing stand-up? Oh, 6 months. And they're so fucking relaxed up there. And they can just, like, just make something out of anything. I'm so fucking jealous of those guys. I'm like, God damn it, you guys are so fucking lucky they can do that. Because I just got to get over people fucking staring at me. A bunch of strangers staring at me going, make me laugh, fuckhead. Make me laugh. You're pissing us all off. That's all I'm thinking. Because like I say, I have an irrational, almost pathological fear of bothering people. I don't know why I have it or where it came from. But I just hate being that guy. I don't like bothering. I hate it. Like, I'm driving people nuts. I just like don't want to exist. I want to be somewhere and get what I want out of things in life. But I don't want anyone to know I'm there, or I don't want to get anyone's way. I'm a fucking disaster. But anyways, I got through it, and even though I was kind of eating it, I still kind of had fun. I was just like, whatever. I was just fucking being silly. So that's how that went. It was, you know, it was basically just stage time practice, which is, you know, good. Even a shitty mic, I'm finding that more and more. Like, just stage time is fucking so valuable. Like, just... every time you're up there, you're still in that element. Anything can happen. You know, you never know. It could just go on and be a whatever mic, or something amazing can happen. This kind of shit. But you won't, if you don't do it, you won't be afforded that opportunity. You know, that's what I'm telling you, young new comics that listening to the show. Okay, good. This is a. Oh yeah, I forgot about this Billy. Maybe I'll tell it next week. Okay. Okay, good. This leads into my... Oh, boy. Oh, I hope you guys are... I hope your ears are rested, because boy, do I got a fucking rant on deck here. I'm finding more and more that... I don't know where this came from, where it started, but after I do a set, I crave
in 2 miles,
junk food. Take exit one. Like, I want junk and shit and fast food. I don't know what... And lately, it's been very specifically a milkshake. I do a set, and I'm like, I want a milkshake. It's like after I fuck... Because when you have sex, it triggers the same endorphins in your brain that make you want... That's why people will always want a cigarette right after they're done. Because it's the same endorphins firing. I never smoked or anything, so after I fucked... not so much anymore, but more when I was younger for some reason, I would immediately want junk food. Like, if I had, like, Bill Gates money, I would just have a big chocolate Easter bunny right next to the bed after I fuck some model or whatever, way better chick than I could get now. As soon as I came, I'd be like, oh, and I would just grab the fucking thing and just take a bite the ears off it. I just want junk and chocolate. I don't know what the fuck it is. I don't know. I guess that's a part of my brain that fires. But, I don't know. It's, for some reason, I'm just
Luke, when you're telling us that stand-up is as good as sex, you like doing stand-up as much as you like fucking.
No, but I don't know. To ask my brain, I don't know. It does whatever the fuck it wants anyway. It just makes fear juice that fucks my body up, does everything else. Tells me to do all kinds of bad things. But now I want junk food. So after this set, I go to... And I'm always like, why are you doing this, dude? It's fucking 9 o'clock. I didn't do any other mics after that show. I was gonna, and I was just like, fuck it. Actually, most of them were canceled anyway Sunday night because of the Oscars. There's usually a fucking litany of them. Oh, I should have went to the Comedy Store show up, go up. I forgot about that. Fuck. There was one I could have done. But you know what? It's not listed in the Comedy Bureau, so fuck them. Or fuck me. I should make a note of that on my phone. Sorry, I'm fucking like live editing on the fucking, leaving myself mental notes that no one needs to hear. I'm still doing. I'm still talking. I could have stopped doing this 45 seconds ago, and I'm still going. So, I stopped at this Carl's Jr. over by Universal Studios on Ventura Boulevard, right near Lancashire. There's not that many Carl's Jr.'s as is around me.
Take exit 141 to Colorado Street. Keep right toward Edenhurst Avenue.
Okay, sorry. Now I'm getting off the freeway here, so it's going to get a little hyphy for a couple minutes. I'm like, Carl's Jr. has the best milkshake. And I'm into vanilla shakes too late. I don't know what it is. Something about a goddamn vanilla shake. But this one is, I don't know what the problem is with this Carl's Jr. They just like redid it. They closed it and totally redid the building and reopened it. And it is a fucking disaster. Nothing is ever right at this fucking place. Every fucking time
right
I go.
Edenhurst Avenue.
Edenhurst,
then turn
okay.
left onto Colorado
That's some good
Boulevard.
Edenhurst. So I go in to order from this fuckhole. And what do I get? Okay, I was in an extra junk foodie mood. So I got the original $6 burger, which is fucking delicious. I love Carl's Jr. Oh, they're chicken tenders. Their fucking $6 burger, and their goddamn, you can get the barbecue chicken sandwich. It's like fresh, not fresh, but you know, it's a grilled chicken. It's a good fucking protein. What am I, Joe Rogan? Like post or pre fucking workout kind of thing. And their chicken tenders. Ooh-wee, that was one of my favorite hangover foods. I almost eat worse now as I did. Well, that was one of the big reasons I also wanted to quit drinking, because I'm like, oh my god, I get hungover and all I want to do is eat junk food. I ate fucking more now. But I get up, so a milkshake. Now, this is what a pig I am. A milkshake, a hamburger, and those fucking wafer cut fucking fries, which are delicious. They look like little fucking baseball mitts, but they're french fries, but fucking potatoes. They're the size of a fucking ear. Like the ears, like the gook's ear my uncle's cut off in Vietnam. No need for that at all. I'm sorry. So I get to the window. She hands me the quote unquote milkshake, and she goes to hand it to me, and I can see it slushing around in the cup. And then she closes, like she gives me the drink first, goes back to get the food, and I'm looking at it. And I'm like, this fucking okay. Before I looked in and I saw her getting ready to make it, and I see like four big fucking beautiful scoops of ice cream in the cup, and I'm like, look at that motherfucker. It was like looking at a girl's ass in a fucking G-string. I was like, give me that fucking. She gives it to me. It is sloshing around like she had poured just milk into a glass. And I'm like, I'm just staring at it. I'm like, did she actually handed it? Like, she actually felt okay handing me this and calling this a milkshake. She comes back to the window. I go, what is this? She goes, oh, the vanilla. Of course, big fat fucking Mexican broad. Oh, the vanilla shake. I'm like, this is not a vanilla. It's melted. I go, this is no good. And she just stares at me. And there's like two cars in the drive. She couldn't handle talking to me and dealing with the drive at the same time. I go, take it back. I go, just give me a cherry Coke. I don't care about the price difference. Just give me the cherry Coke. So I'm the asshole. She's all pissed off that I give the fucking milkshake back that was melted. It's fucking retard. She takes it back. She gives me the food. Oh, God.
Take exit 5B
onto Okay. So I made the mistake of now usually I eat right in my car 99% of the time. I took it home this time because I wanted to watch Sopranos. And I get home. Okay. Now, the original $6 burger, you have to tell them, it comes with cheese and tomatoes. It's a $6 burger, not cheeseburger, but it comes default with cheese on it. So every fucking time I gotta go, can I get it with no cheese, no tomatoes? Every fucking time. The bread is stale. There's cheese on the sandwich. There's cheese on it. Cheese and fucking tomatoes. The fries are cold. I mean, like, not even, like, from the drive home cold. It was only, like, 5 minutes away or whatever. And the fucking Coke is like carbonated water. I wanted to take the fucking cup and smash it against my fucking lip. Every fucking part of my order was fucked up. Everything. And to top it off, these cocksuckers, Carl's Jr., they had the best pickles in the biz. Their fucking pickles were delicious. They were like sweet. They were like those fucking, they were like sweet. Now they got rid of them. They got these bitter, shitty, like McDonald's ones. Even the fucking pickles were no good. I was like, dude, I was so fucking mad. I didn't know what to do with myself. I wanted to fucking, I wanted to start a war. I was so fucking aggravated. I'm like, how do you fuck up? How hard is this? How do you fuck up every single goddamn aspect of my fucking order? Down to the soda and everything. So I fucking ate my food, whatever. The next morning, I go to Starbucks. I go to the same Starbucks. It doesn't get any easier. Now. You're going to be like, oh my God, this guy's complaining. I couldn't make it any easier. I go to Starbucks every day, the same one, same time, same fucking employee, and I get a venti black coffee. That's it. A black fucking coffee. It's a coffee shop. Just fucking pour. It takes them 2 seconds. The thing is right next to the register. You just pull the fucking lever and fucking hand me the coffee. It's beautiful. So a coffee's, what is it, $2.67? Something like that. So I go in, this fucking fatso, white woman, older, looks like, she looks like she'd be one of Roseanne's friends from Roseanne. Like she'd work at Wellman Plastics. And every day she sees me, okay? And like one time she asked my name. She's like, what's your name? I see you here every day. I'm like, oh, I'm Luke. Well, I think I'm fucking Carol, or insert whatever chick that looks like her name would be, Carol. And, but then she forgot, instantly forgot about me. She was like off. It's like when people meet me, it's like a memento. They just, I'm fucking, once I'm out of their presence for more than 40 minutes, all memories of me have disappeared. Okay. So fucking, I go, venti black coffee. Now, I don't know if my throat was fucked up and I was real throaty that morning. I was like, but like, it's a venti black coffee. And you see me every fucking day. She goes, okay, $4.67. And she walks away and I'm like, it's not $4.67. What did you do? What did you do, Carol? So she leaves and goes and starts like stocking coffee filters and shit. And then she goes into like the back room and like disappears. And I'm just standing there. And the other dude at there's two registers. So the next register over guy, he finishes up with his customer and he sees me still standing there and that Carol's gone. And he's like, can I help you? I'm like, yeah, I'm waiting for something. I was $4.67. I go, I get the same coffee every single day. I don't know what she rang me up for, but she's still not back. I'm seriously like 4 fucking minutes have gone by. I'm just standing there like an asshole. The guy goes, oh, all right, let me get her. So he goes and she goes, oh. She goes, oh, I thought you ordered a black guy. I'm like, what the fuck is a black eye? Did you say black guy or black eye? Like when someone punches you, what the fuck is a black eye? I've never even seen it on the menu. How do you get black eye from venti black coffee? They're not even close. What the fuck is a black eye? It's like, she's like, oh, it's a black coffee with two shots of espresso and a fucking a Samoan jizz drop. I'm like, what the fuck? I just want a black coffee. So she made it. And she refunded me the money. But just like, God damn it, lady. God damn it. She sees me every fucking day. What am I, a fucking mirage? What is with me? Why do I not matter to anyone? It's so fucking strange. I'm like a fucking ghost walking through this world. So the next night, I go to, I'm driving. This is like 4 days. Every fucking day. It's in like a 52-hour period. I had like 19 just basic orders of things just fucked up for no reason, because everyone here, it's just a customer service does not exist in LA. No one gives a shit. No one cares about their job. No one cares about you. No one has any fucking common courtesy or fucking decency. No one fucking gives a shit. You're just another head in line. Here's your shit. Get the fuck away from me. I don't care if it's right. I don't give a fuck. And I won't get in trouble with my job, because guess what? My boss doesn't give a fuck either. So fucking, I go to the fucking hell on earth. Ralph's, forget about the fucking Hanway Hilton. Ralph's deli counter is just a fucking, it's just a special fucking rotten place. I know I've talked about this 18 times on this fucking podcast and it never fails. I go in, the next please, can I help you? The requirements to be an employee at the Ralph's fucking deli area is you have to be at least 75 years old, been in America 100 years, but can still barely speak the fucking language. I'm standing there. How easy is this? A half pound of private selection honey turkey. Just a half pound of turkey. Oh, okay. How much? 1 pound? No. Half pound of turkey. Okay. So now it's been 19 seconds. So of course this information has left her brain. She gets the meat to the meat slicer. How much you want? A half pound? Half pound. Yes. A half pound of turkey. Can you slice it just a little bit thick? Okay. What do you think happens? What does she bring me? 1 pound of turkey. 1 fucking pound. I looked at the price tag. It's like $10.80. I said a half pound. I go, half pound, half pound. A half pound, remember? She's like, oh, and then so she's all pissed off. She, again, I'm the asshole. Because she fucked my order. I didn't say, hey, cunt. I said a pound. I'm just like, no, I said half pound. It was a half pound. I said half pound. So she's all pissed off. And she takes half of, she weighs it and takes half of the fucking meat out, puts it in a different bag, and puts it somewhere or gives it to me. She, okay, anything else? Now she's all pissed off. Anything else? Yeah, I'll have a half pound of cheese, half pound of cheese, half pound, half pound, half pound, half pound, half pound of cheese, half pound, half pound. This time she got it right. Fucking cunt. Then I go to Dunkin' Donuts. I've been to Dunkin' Donuts in a long time. I don't know why I had a hankering for a couple of goddamn donuts. I've been on a fucking junk food wagon like you would fucking believe lately. So I walk in. Fucking! Now, here's just a quick side note before... Here's a quick suffix before I get into this. I don't know what it is, California. Now, there's some kind of thing out here with the bread, and that's why the Italian food stinks, and there's some kind of thing about the fucking salt water, and that's why things don't rise like they should, and the donuts suck. But the don't... Not only do they suck... They're just, you can't get any more boring. I mean, there's no flavor, there's no fire, no energy, no nothing. Come on, man. You want to do it? It's boring. It's just, they love rings. They love just ring donuts with some, plain rings. Tons of plain rings. Or rings with just powder on them. Or rings with just a fucking, they'll have a ring with every kind of fucking frosting on it you can imagine. They'll have fucking chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, sprinkles, fucking, what's that fucking brown shit? Like, not, oh, God, not caramel, but like, what am I thinking of? They used to have them at Tim Hortons. And I would just be like, who the fuck would eat that? Oh, is it maple? Yeah, like maple or something like that. And then they have fills, like jelly fills. And most of these are like mom and pop places, too. Everyone has the exact same selection of donuts everywhere you go. And they'll just have plain fills with no frosting on them. Just a jelly donut, just a fill with jelly inside of it. No frosting on top. And I'm like, is it that revolutionary of an idea to fucking put some frosting on top of the motherfucking fill so it's a frosted jelly? This is the mom and pop business. Now, Dunkin' Donuts, on the East Coast, these are a staple. You have the white cream, which is a fucking unicorn out here. You can't find no motherfucking white cream anywhere. I've never seen it in California. I know Dunkin' Donuts are relatively new. Even on the East Coast, I don't know. People must not like the white. We called it angel cream at Tim Hortons when I was a fucking donut tech. It was angel cream. I used to make the angel cream, and I made it fucking good. I used to put extra sugar in it. People fucking love my donuts. I'm not kidding. I used to get compliments. I used to make it. I had a fucking little special. I used to put a little bit of this, a little of that. I swear to you, I swear to fucking God on my soul, on my children, that I my fucking donuts were so good. People, because I'd go there after school and make. I became a donut tech, a donut engineer. And I put some fucking specialty in the motherfucking angel cream. They'd be like, people be like, they're extra good at night. Like the old, I'm way too excited about my angel cream. Anyways, East Coast, frosted jelly, the Bavarian cream, and the fucking angel cream with all with, you know, with, filled with chocolate frosting on it. These are standards. This is like fucking Meet Me in San Francisco from fucking Tony Bennett or whatever of donuts. And fucking, I go in there and I wanted a frosted jelly. More than I wanted to fucking eat Ariana Grande's fucking ass. I'm just like, I want a frosted jelly, and I'll take a fucking Boston cream, because I know the white cream ain't fucking happening. That's just, forget it. And I go in, and they don't have, I'm just looking around, and they have powdered jelly fills, like in that white powder, like Coke, and then they have another one that's in sugar. And I'm just like, and they've never had it. Now, this Dunkin' Donuts has been open for a year and a half on my work, and they've never fucking had it. I think, one time in Halloween, they make a frosted one, and they make a Frankenstein face on it, so it's like double fucking frosting. They're delicious. I'm just like, what? Did it never occur to you guys to make a fucking frosted jelly? Why is it so outlandish to you fucking people? Fine, give me the sugar one. Fucking make a frosted jelly, you fucking cunts. And then all you got rings everywhere. Rings, plain rings, chocolate rings, vanillas, everything. 19 fucking rings and like 3 kinds of fills. No fucking peanut. Forget about peanut donuts. That's another East Coast thing. They don't have them out here. They're fucking great. The old Jews love them. So I get in the car. Ah! I bite into the jelly donut. It is stale as fuck. It's like 5 o'clock. Stale as fuck. I'm like, how can you sell these? These are so fucking stale. It's like biting into my fucking slipper with some jelly in it. I took it, opened the window, smashed the donut at the red light, and ate the Bavarian cream, which is also kind of stale, but not as stale as the jelly. I'm like, when the fuck did you make these, you fucking assholes? Why is it so hard? Why doesn't anyone care about anything, ever? Like, I'm in fucking work. It has been so busy at work. I don't even want to get into work politics because I don't know if the other guys will ever hear it. But I'll just say from my end of things, it's tough, and I rely on other people to do their job. I mean, even like other vendors, like places that are supposed to do service for us, that never follow up on anything, even no matter how urgent I tell them it is. Oh yeah, dude, I'll get right back. They never do, and you got to call, email. It's like your fucking job is to look at this and call me right away with an analysis, you know, so you can make business and we pay you. And no one ever does. No one gives a fucking shit. And you've got to constantly chase after fucking everyone to get everything done. It's so, obviously you can hear from my voice in the podcast, it is so fucking stressful. It's so fucking hard. You don't know what I go through besides sitting in this motherfucking traffic that I got to deal with this shit too. Nothing's ever right. No one cares. No one gives a shit. Where am I at here? I had to expunge that. It was like a fucking cancer living in me. That all happened in like 3 fucking days. I'm like, what is going on in the city? I want to become mayor. I couldn't sleep the other night. And I don't know why. I just constantly find myself venturing into more morbidity and weird facts and stories and things. And the thought occurred to me, what was the deadliest day? What was the most Americans that ever died in one day in this country? And you'll be shocked by the answer. I have never heard of this. This is the most disastrous, expensive, and deadly natural disaster in the history of the fucking country. In 1900, in Galveston, Texas, there was a fucking hurricane that was like, beyond it's almost like out of a fucking story. You can't believe this thing existed, and it fucking just it killed. What did it kill? It was like 12,000 Americans died in a 24-hour fucking period. It killed like 8,000 to 12,000 people. It just before it completely changed the entire that's the wrong word. Some kind of ology of Texas, because Galveston was going to be the fucking place. It was the first city that was really taking off and doing well. Commerce and population was blowing up and everything. Business was good and everyone was like, this is going to be like, I don't know, the state capital. They probably already had the state capital, but it was like, that was the fucking place to be. That's where everyone was going. And it all but leveled. I mean, Galveston was like gone, and then it turned into fucking, I think Houston became that became the place, you know? And it was just, this giant tsunami came, and like there was like 10 feet of water just rushed through and killed all these fucking people. The photographs and shit of it are fucking amazing. I'm like, holy shit. And then the worst part was they said all these people were, they could hear people fucking trapped under all the rubble and shit. They couldn't get to them. People just fucking slowly died. Oh my God, it was horrible. So that was the number one. The worst day, the most, I mean, that was the most, okay, I'll say non-wartime deaths. The most Americans to ever die in one day was the Battle of Antietam in, I think, 1863, where 24,000 fucking Americans died. It was like a quarter of all the losses of the entire Civil War in one fucking day. It was a Civil War going on for 4 years. 24 fucking thousand people. Oh, yeah, it's on my phone, motherfucker. That guy was in Texas. There were so many bodies. They didn't know what to do with them. There's so many fucking dead bodies. So they started making these huge fucking rafts and taking them out to do like a burial at sea. But then like another storm came and washed all the fucking dead bodies back on the beach. And they had to pile them up put them in a funeral pyre. They had to make these giant funeral pyres on the beach of bodies burning. Fucking nuts. Antietam, I can't think of any facts, but it was bad. It was 24,000 fucking people. That was the deadliest day. And then Galveston was that was in 1900. And then the third worst tragedy, worst day, worst calamity. Just a few years later, 1906, San Francisco earthquake killed about 6,000 fucking people. And man, did it fucking, it destroyed. I didn't know how, like San Francisco was almost gone. It destroyed like 90% of the city because it fucking caught fire. But you know what the biggest cause of the fires were? Firemen who were, you know, still kind of new at the job, I guess. They were trying to clear fire paths, and when they would try to dynamite these buildings, they wouldn't blow up all the way, and then they would catch fire, and then also with all the buildings around them. Fucking crazy. And it just, how many did it fucking, hang on. I couldn't believe the statistic when I read it. I was like, holy shit. I didn't know a city had that many. Hang on, where is it? This is good to do while you're driving. Within 3 days, over 30 fires caused by ruptured gas mains destroyed approximately 25,000 buildings on 490 city blocks. One of the largest of these fires accidentally started in a house on Hay Street by a woman making... Oh, yeah, there's that classic story where the whole fires were started by some lady that, like... Some people said that a cow knocked over a lantern in a barn. Or was that the Chicago fire? I forget. But whatever. I mean, it fucking... Man, it destroyed that fucking place. And that was another one. That completely changed California because San Francisco was going to be L.A. before L.A. It leveled San Francisco so bad, they all had to fucking turn elsewhere for, like, a place that was like a port city, because that's what San Francisco was, where all the fucking trade came in and everything else, and it was bustling business and shit like that, for all the fucking merchandising coming in, and then it turned down to L.A. But if that earthquake wouldn't have happened, San Francisco could be the L.A. of today. You know, isn't that fucking weird? So yeah, that's what I read about, and then I started I couldn't sleep, and I started, I don't know where the fuck this came from, but I started looking at shark attack footage for some fucking reason. I'm like, I wonder if there's cool shark attack videos. So I found this one, and man, I wish I hadn't watched it. There's this guy, this big fat fuck, he's walking around, and someone's like underwater with a camera, and like they're in like the Caribbean or something, because the water is super clear, you can see everything, and there's this fucking whole school of these giant sharks, like bull sharks, swimming past them, I'm not, like 10, 12 long, and they're swimming right through the guy, the people's legs and everything, and I didn't hear, was there like audio of like the trainer, the guy's like, oh yeah, just be still, and they'll swim right past you, like just chill out, and the fucking shark takes a bite of this motherfucker's calf. I mean, this big ass bull shark, like 8 feet long, bites this fucker's leg, and basically takes the guy's entire fucking calf off. It is fucking, I thought I was gonna fucking throw up. It was so disgusting. They're carrying the guy to shore, and his calf, it looked like a ripped grocery bag with the bag hanging off, but it was his fucking skin. It took every, like, down to the bone. It took everything. I was like, oh my god. I swear to god, I thought I was gonna fucking throw up. I was like nauseous. I was like, wow, I didn't need to watch that. Jesus fucking Christ, that was disgusting. Oh, and then there's one of this, like, Australian, there's, like, the surf competition, and it looks fake, you can't believe it, this guy's just floating out there on a surfboard, and, like, the announcers are, he's on camera, the announcers, like, they're like, oh, I think I'll see a fin next to him, oh, and then you see the guy, like, I think the shark grabbed his surfboard, like, just missed him and bit his surfboard and started pulling it underwater, and you just see this fucking huge great white shark right next, like, trying to get the guy, and it just kept trying to get him, and the dude got away, he swims ashore, he barely fucking makes it, but. Holy shit, that was fucking close. And then I was watching, I don't know why, tornado videos about, like, storm chasers and shit like that. I can't fucking believe. Tornadoes are, you won't believe this statement, but, like, tornadoes are just, they're fucking the craziest fucking things. I didn't know you could get this close to them. I mean, seriously, the guy's, like, fucking 20 yards away to this massive fucking tornado in the middle of the day. I was like, I was getting tense in my, Luke, you wonder why the fuck you can't sleep and you toss and turn all night. I know, I was like fucking like cringing in my bed. I'm like, get out of there! Because they started, like, we gotta get out of here, bud. Let's get to go. Fucking come, things right coming at us. And I gotta jump in a truck and take off. And they get right next to him. And then, like, ironically enough, the next day, Bill Paxton died. He was fucking dead. I was like, Jesus Christ, out of nowhere. He just did a whole, like, podcast tour last month. He was on, like, 4 or 5 fucking shows. I listened to him on Dean Del Rey's podcast. And, like, I don't remember him ever even mentioning a fucking heart surgery. What a weird fucking thing. It's almost as weird as that dude that played young Chekhov in Star Trek got, like, run over by his own car. It's these tragic fucking deaths. Like, Jesus fucking Christ, that sucks. Fucking Bill Paxton. I remember when I used to, when I worked at Panavision, and I had the Valencia run, which my boss called Valencia, and used to fucking drive me nuts. Valencia. It's Valencia. There's a fucking C in it, you whore. And I would go out there, and that's when Big Love was filming. And it was in this really weird fucking stage. It was like a converted, like, it was in like an office fucking building. But there was a huge part of it they, like, gutted and they put a big ass stage. So they had that house, the whole full-scale house, which, like, they usually never do. It's usually like those walls that move and shit. But it was like an actual house on a stage with a pool in it. Like, they dug into the stage and made an actual in-ground pool from the house. It was the craziest thing. It was a really fucking cool stage. It always reminded me of that fucking, and the way it was lit and everything, it just reminded me of that little stage set from Cape Fear that De Niro's waiting for fucking, what's her name, God, I'm so bad with names in this podcast. I don't know why, I can never remember people's fucking names. What's her name, the chick from Cape Fear, the crazy one, Juliette Lewis. when he's sitting around. It always reminded me of that set. It had this almost a spooky lighting to it. It was weird. But I would always hang out extra long to see, just to see Bill Paxton and or hear maybe if he would say any alien stories or something. And I think one fucking time he did, or he made some kind of Hicks reference. I was like, oh my God, he did it! Day made. I just fucking heard a fucking Hudson say a Hudson line. It was awesome. Yeah, but I never got to like meet him. But yeah, I would hang out extra long. And one time I parked, and then Chloe Savini, she parked right next to me. And we walked to the stage, and she just kind of looked and like came and gave me like a smile. And she is fucking pretty in real life. I was like, ooh. And she was tall. She was fucking pretty. I wanted to fucking grab her little butt, but I didn't. Yeah, rest in peace, Bill Paxton, motherfucker. That sucks, man. That's too bad, bro. I'm really liking that show Crashing on HBO was great, man. I don't like Pete Holmes. He's such a nice guy, so it's hard to hate him. But I'm not a fan. I think he sucks. I'm not a fan of him. And I've had it with Judd Apatow, that motherfucker. You know, I think I mentioned it before. Like, I don't know what happened, but I loved Trainwreck the first time I saw it. The second time I saw it, I don't know if it's a combination of his douchery and Amy Schumer's, but I got 15 minutes into it. I'm like, I can't fucking watch this. I can't take this fucking movie. I don't know. I loved it the first time I saw it. Did not hold up on the second viewing. But, yeah, I'm not much a fan of fucking emasculated, self-hating, fucking pussy liberal fucking annoying cunt Apatow, but I really like this show. Him and it's Pete Holmes plays a comic, and he's like Artie Lang's great in it. I don't know. I did not expect to like it at all. I think the thing slobs over. We had nothing to watch like a fucking last time, whatever the fuck she was there a week or two ago, and I don't know. I actually fucking really dug it. So I don't know. Give Crashing, even if you don't like Pete Holmes or Judd Apatow anymore. Some of the best work. They shot on 35, and I don't know why. It really didn't beg for a 35mm shoot. I don't know why. It's all location stuff at night. It just doesn't. I think digital works better for shit like that. I don't know. For city shots and location work, I don't know. But whatever. I mean, good for them. It's always nice to. I love when people shoot 35, as long as it ain't nothing that I gotta deal with at my place, because I fucking hate having to wrangle up film equipment now. It sucks. It's like fucking having to go to a fucking museum to get the fucking gear. You know, no one knows how to fucking load anymore. What else? I don't get, where are we at here? Yeah, this isn't my best work, this fucking episode. Yeah, I'm a fucking Tinder and shit, and Luke, why do you even bother? I don't know. It is so, like, it's dead and just keeps getting deader. I mean, there was a couple years on all that shit, on like, social networking, dating apps and shit, that they fucking worked pretty good, and you met chicks and shit like that, and now it's just forget it. I don't know if it's me or them or what, but, you know, it's about fucking completely useless. But, like, if I ever match with anybody on Tinder at all, it's always fucking spam. It's all it is fucking spam profiles. And I'm just like, I'm so tired of it. And it's like, what do they want? What does this spam want? They're trying to lure you to some kind of like, hey, like number one, do they actually think people would believe this was a real person? Like, hey, sexy, liked your picture. I want to talk dirty LOL, but I can't hear. Come to this link, and it's just like a fucking link to like some fucking, I don't know, cam site or something. It's like, who would go there and like, who pays for porn or anything? That's what I don't get. Like, why are they trying to still get people to pay for anything like that when there is a fucking incalculable amount of free porn and nudity on the internet at all times? Why would anyone go to your thing and fucking pay or do any of this bullshit that you're trying to lure? Like, what is the fucking point? What do you want? Besides just being, like, destroying my life and thinking, like, a girl likes me. Doesn't. It's everywhere. Now it's, like, it's all the fucking, even Plenty of Fish. You know, they're just mostly just, like, the most retarded women in this entire fucking city put in one place. But on there, it's, like, the dumbest of the dumb and the worst of the worst. But, like, even there's a ton, now there's a ton of spam on there. And it's, like, no one's going to go to this. I don't know, it's dumb. They can fucking do something better with your time. Than aggravate me. I'm really grasping straws here. I'm sorry. I had a little bit of a slow week. I might have to do every night. I have to call this week to see if my number gets pulled for jury duty. I really hope I don't have to do it. Fingers crossed there. It's Wednesday, and so far I'm making it. Did stupid West Side mic last night. I don't know. Who wants to hear about my fucking stupid mics? It was, whatever. I got really wound up. It was one of the most animated, I don't know if it's going to stay because I'm so inconsistent with however I'm feeling that night, but I feel like I'm loosening up a lot, and even when I'm not doing great or whatever, I'm still, now I'm just kind of not caring and just like having fun. I don't, who cares? Who wants to hear? Who gives a shit? I don't know. I didn't do great, but I still had fun. I was like, I need to do that more. Even if I'm not doing good or I don't have the greatest jokes, I need to sell them harder and be stupid, which I was. Still didn't get any laughs, but at least at least it was fun. I don't know. What the fuck? I'm sorry about this one. I hope more shit happens between the next. Okay, I got like five more. I got to kill like five more minutes. What can I talk about? This is what I do on stage, too. I'm like, what do you guys want to hear? What do you want to talk about? I started doing that. And I think that's going a little bit better. I'm going to go to the Rice House tonight all the way out in motherfucking Pasadena. And I got a set together, but yeah, I'm trying to do a thing now where I pay attention. And I think I'm talking about this. And I'm trying to just rip, because I do it at fourth wall, and it's great. And half the time, I don't even get to my jokes. I listen to what people are talking about, and it'll give me an idea for something else, or it'll give me some, you know, like expand on what they just said and be like, yeah, that happened to me, and I'll just fucking wing some shit. And it always goes better, and it's more fun to do it that way. So I'm trying to, I don't know, it works really good there at fourth wall, because I think because I'm comfortable and I'm friends with all those dudes, but I'm trying to do that other places. Like, I really need to. I don't know. No one likes me. Thinks I have a weird fucking sense of humor. People just don't. I just don't fit in out here. I'm always just like, California is. I always said it was a cool kids party that I was never invited to. I jumped the fence and got in and mingled with everybody, but they didn't want me there. I wasn't supposed to be there. You know, I didn't fucking fit in. I was some fucking dirtbag or something. It's a fucking weird place. I just, you know, at least the fucking weather's getting better. What else is anything happened at work? Anything happened at fucking. I don't have any chicks lined up. What else is happening? Yeah, I don't know. I think that's it. So yeah, I don't know. Billy Bob Thornton is making. Hopefully something interesting happens between now and then. I was supposed to talk to Fourth Wall Joe. It's been like a month now. I guess I give up. I try. I'm not gonna sit there and bug the fucking guy. If he really wanted to do it, he'd hit me up and say, "Here's the fucking night and time. Let's do it then." Which we've tried two or three times and just not happening. So. I guess the world will be deprived of that conversation. I really want to talk to him, Joe. He's got a fucking colorful past, and I like him. He's an interesting guy, and that place has fucking helped me a lot. I love that fucking joint. Right by my fucking house. Right down the street. Oh, okay. I think I just made it. I coasted on fucking fumes here to an hour. Sorry, it was... You know, I say that too a lot. I listen back and I'm like, it wasn't that bad of an episode. I don't. To me, it just doesn't feel like last week. I had fucking 90 minutes and be easy. And like those ones, I'm like proud of. This kind of shit, where I'm just like kind of fucking not mailing it in, but just I don't know. I just didn't have that much go on or nothing struck me enough to talk about. So you try to fucking fill an hour talking to a microphone by yourself, motherfucker. Actually, don't because it's a nightmare. It stinks, and probably no one will listen to you. I don't know. Do people listen to me? I think they do. At least a handful of fucking people do. All right, have a good weekend, you pricks, and stay out of trouble. Don't do anything I would do or wouldn't. They just completely negated the entire joke. It was fucking pretty stupid.
Yeah.